Remnant, good evening, and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard, still coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. Oh, it's been about 10 years since I've been doing this now, and 35 years the pastor did it before me. But we are coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this Thursday, August 11th, 2022. I want to welcome you here. Thank you for joining us. Let me get the phone line pushed. We are coming to you live, and the phone lines are open. And we'll be glad to take your call tonight. Have some current events that I want to share with you, but they are just cogs in the wheel, I think. But they point to a plan that has worked for the enemy in the past, but it's going to fail for them this time. It is. And there's a couple of reasons for that. But we'll get to them. We'll have the phone lines open. But, you know, we must open with a word of prayer. Whether you feel like it or not, you know, we are haying here at the Radio Ranch. And those are days, long days, from sunrise to, if we're not here on the radio, till dark or after. You kind of feel those, and you know, then when you wake up in the morning, you're sore and stiff, and sometimes the last thing on your mind is praying. But you want to have that habit developed. You want to go back to that training that you have had and that practice that you've been doing. And so we do. We start out our day with prayer, and we're going to start this program out with prayer. So join me, won't you? Well, Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for a beautiful day here, and Lord, I pray that it's been a beautiful and a blessed day for all of the remnant throughout this land. Guide and direct my words and thoughts tonight as I share some of the current events that are going on during the day and my thoughts on how they tie in with the biblical day that we are in. I pray that, Lord, this broadcast will be an encouragement to your people, and that it would give them a zeal and tools to use, Lord, that come from your word, to have their eyes open further, their ears, for them to be aware of what is going on in the land, not to fear, but to have faith. And, Lord, to share this faith and this good news that you have given us, this gospel, this government of Jesus Christ, and his word and his way and his law. And I pray this all to your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And if you listened to Pastor Peter's Timeless Truth message this past Sunday, we broadcast it twice at 9 a.m. Mountain, and then again at 11 a.m. So we kind of, that way we started doing that, we kind of catch the East Coasters before it's too late. And then give those on the West Coast, if they're sleeping in or doing something, give them a chance to see it as well. But it was the kingdom in a nutshell. And got to see it for the most part twice on Sunday. I hope you did as well. And the kingdom in a nutshell. And you know, basically he said he met up with a car mechanic that he had 5 minutes before the boss was going to be there. And he said, so you're a preacher. Tell me what about your church and what you preach. And pastor says, how do I in 5 minutes give this man what he's asking? But that's how we were in society. And that message is from 40 years ago. And so how much more now, with the lower attention span, the 30-second attention span, maybe it's down to 10 seconds now, just blurbs. You know, even when you go fill up your car, you don't even have, the 2 minutes of filling your vehicle up in peace and quiet. The video screen comes on, and they're talking about some pop star or what's going on down in Chile with the soccer players. Or it's just ridiculous. But it's meant to fuel and to implant and to support that short attention span that has been developed and put upon our people. But pastor's message, the kingdom in a nutshell, I encourage you, write to us. If you don't get DVD Church, let us know. I made some extra copies. We have a new DVD duplicator We were apparently having some quality issues with the DVD church that we were sending out, and the remnant to get those were letting us know. And we did some research and checked, and yeah, sure enough, our duplicators, which is a big tower duplicator that we make the DVD on Sundays, always have, and we've upgraded that equipment over the years a couple times as needed and as we could afford to, but we found out our duplicator towers here just weren't working, so we did have to, Jason found as good a deal as we could on one, on a good quality product, and got it shipped in, and we used it this week. So if you get the DVD church and it's been acting up on you, give us, you know, thanks for letting us know, and try this week's out. And let me know. Let me know here at the office when you get it, and if it plays okay, and certainly if you have any issues with it. Because, like I said, we kind of had to bite the bullet and get a new multi-disc duplicator. But we've done that, and testing them here in the office as well. And so as I was doing DVD church this week, also got to hear Brother Zach's message a few times on Gideon, and Jason's introduction, and also Pastor's message on the kingdom in a nutshell. And one thing that I took away from it, a reminder, was that the prophecy, one of the prophecies of Jesus Christ, was that a Savior would be given, a child would be born, and the government would be upon his shoulders. And Pastor goes on to explain that it's the ways of God, the ways, the laws, the statutes, the judgments of God that the government are to follow. And when they do, they are blessed. But it's the government to be on the shoulders of Jesus Christ, on his way, his word. He is the word. And so, and we had that when this nation was formed. It was formed, but that is so foreign to so many people today, even those that they call themselves Christians or Judeo-Christians. But it is a foreign concept to so many today. You know, it's good remnant that we at least have a little bit of understanding of our history, of the founding of this nation, that it was founded on the principles of Jesus Christ, that the Revolutionary War was fought by about 3% of the colonists, and one of their battle cries was no king but Jesus. One of their battle flags, the first flag of the Navy that George Washington put together, was an appeal to heaven. Now, that appeal to heaven was not made through Buddha. And that appeal to heaven during the Revolutionary War that helped form this nation was not made through Allah. That is not who they appealed to. They appealed to heaven, to the God of heaven, and to his son, Jesus Christ. And we have truthful books that support that, if you'd like them. The Light and the Glory by David Manuel and Peter Marshall, excellent, true history book of the Christian foundation of this nation. We carry the book, we've reprinted it, The Chaplains and Clergy of the Revolution, to see what was being preached, what was being taught at the time leading up to and during the American Revolution. And so if you would like these, let us know. We carry them, our catalog. We've sent hundreds of those new ones out, but there's thousands of them out there. It's also available online. Our website is scripturesforamerica.org. And if you go there, you can click on the SFA store and then whatever, catalog or those books. They're good to have in your library. Sent a Light and the Glory out today to a lady that wanted one, and I've actually got to get some more of those reordered. But great books about the history. Well, that brings us to today. Well, what about today? We know that's how it was founded, but what about today? Well, today, this land of milk and honey that was promised to us. And the land does have milk and honey, absolutely. There's a little deeper meaning to that in the Bible. I think that that alludes to the abundance and the provision that God will provide, just like he has provided oil in this land. Enough oil and natural gas and coal for us to be energy independent for probably the next 400 years, if we have that much time. But there's that much discovered here now, that much milk and honey for his people. Okay? Now, whether it's used or not, or used wisely, that's a different story. But it's there. It's been provided for. Water has been provided for from the huge aquifers that are underground. Out here, we're on a part of the huge Ogallala Aquifer. We're on part of it. And just unimaginable amounts of fresh water underground. And the snowpack that comes, that melts and... you know, it is just a gift from God, part of the milk and honey. And so, however, we see that, you can't drill the oil. You can't use the natural gas here. We have to import it from other places. Now, why do you think that is? Can't use local coal. We have to, you know, we have to import it in from other places. Why do you think that is? See, because there's an enemy that does not want God's people to have the benefit of the land of milk and honey. Drought. And that's what brings me to this, drought. We've been talking about drought a lot because, you know what? We've been in drought for a long time. Oh, no, it's not the Sahara Desert. It's not Death Valley everywhere. But see, that goes back to that short attention span that most people have. You know, when it's flooding, oh, Lord, get rid of the rain. And when it's not raining, Lord, bring the rain, is, if anything, what you hear from Judeo-Christians. But today, 43% of the United States is in a drought. 43%. And 51%, that's over half, folks, if you're not a math major. I'm pretty good with math as far as that goes. 51% of the lower 48 states are in a drought. And it didn't just happen yesterday. And the forecast is it will persist the rest of the year and into the fall and winter in the West and the Northwest of the United States. Now, the West includes the Southwest as well. They're in their monsoon season right now. However, they are still in what's considered a drought, even though Death Valley was flooding out last week. And the week before, Vegas casinos were flooding out because of the record flash floods. But it's back to 100 degrees in Vegas this week. And so, I that drought persists to us. We are in the drought. It's raining all around us right now. But it still is not enough to get out of the drought. And remember, when the rain, especially the heavy rains, come, and just north of us and west of us was under a flash flood advisory this evening because of the wildland fires and then the burn scar, when you get flash flooding on it, the water can't soak in, the trees are burned, and the water just runs off. And that creates its own issues. But anyway, the flooding that is consistent, it's not, was talking with the neighbors the other day, it's not a 10-year flood. It's not a 10-year drought cycle, is what I meant to say. It's not a 10-year drought cycle. It's not a 20-year drought cycle. But it's continual. And when you have God's people in the land that he's given them, this new J-E-R-U-S-A-L-E-M, and they are not receiving his blessings, well, you need to ask why not. And I think more and more people are realizing that. And it's because we've turned away from God. We've turned away from Jesus Christ. And that is the bottom line. It is. Well, some current events, and we do have the phone lines open tonight, 307-745-5913. So in the headlines this past week, a couple of them, one is, you know, there's all types of job wanted signs out. Now hiring, it's been going on like that for quite a while, right? We've had restaurants close down in town because they can't get enough people to work because they're sitting at home drawing unemployment. Well, the IRS, under the O'Biden administration, it's just announced it's hiring 87,000 new agents. How about that? The IRS, so they can audit more tax returns. And armed IRS agents, not just bookkeepers, not just spectacle-wearing, pencil-pushing ones to check up on the computer on your tax return. No, armed IRS agents. Now, you compare that to zero new armed school officers to help keep the children in public schools safe. And this is kind of a recurring theme that I'm seeing throughout a couple of current event stories I have with you tonight is that what is put out is an absolute lie. If you listen to what this left-wing, liberal, ungodly, antichrist government and mass media system put out, and we learned from our pastor and Pastor Jones and Colonel Moore that when you take the opposite of what these antichrists put out, you will be closer to the truth. And so the Democrats, their rhetoric, what they've been saying over and over, they want to keep kids safe. We want to keep kids safe. No, they don't. No, they don't. They want children to die, if not an abortion, maybe in a school shooting, something like that. They want to keep people, they want to keep parents from keeping their children safe. That's why they push and promote and pay for these drag queens to come into public school systems and recruit children from the kindergarten grade on up. They don't want to keep kids safe. They want children unsafe. And that's why it's okay when they hire 87,000 new armed IRS agents. Okay? And to take that story a bit deeper, here's the job listing. As part of the IRS Criminal Investigation Special Agent. That's what it is, special agent man, an IRS criminal investigation, that they must carry a firearm and be, this is a quote, that they must, quote, carry a firearm and be willing to use deadly force in order to carry out their duties. As a special agent, you will combine your accounting skills with law enforcement skills to investigate financial crimes. Special agents are duly sworn law enforcement officers who are trained to, quote, follow the money. Now listen to this quote. No matter the source, all income earned, both legal and illegal, has the potential of becoming involved in crimes which fall within the investigative jurisdiction of the IRS criminal investigation. So did you get that? No matter the source, all income earned, both legal income earned and illegal income earned, has the potential of becoming involved in crimes. Didn't we get warned about thought crimes about 35 years ago from our pastor? And here we have it from the IRS. All income, no matter the source, legal or illegal, we're going to check it out. That's what they're saying. It goes on to describe the special agents' major duties, which include carrying a firearm and being willing to use deadly force if necessary. Applicants must also be willing and able to participate in arrests, execution of search warrants, and other dangerous assignments. And the majority of the people, you know, to placate the blind public out there, they came out with a news flash. The IRS has said, oh, well, these aren't going to investigate anybody making less than $400,000 a year. And so, you know, Joe the plumber, John Q. Public, goes, well, I sure don't make $400,000 a year, so I ain't going to worry about it. Pass me the Budweiser. And there's the attention span gone. Representative Matt Gaetz from Florida, it came out just in June, of his concern of the IRS purchase then of about $700,000 worth of ammunition between March and June 1st. And a quote from him, he said, there's concern that this is part of a broader effort to have any entity in the federal government buy up ammo. One, to reduce the amount of ammo that is in supply, while at the same time making it harder to produce ammo. And why, between March and June, which, you know, it took years before to put in the purchase order, to put in the request to the GSA and all the government wheeling and dealings, to be able to finally purchase the ammo in March of this year, it's been planned for years. And why would the IRS need $700,000 worth of ammo? And that comes, you know, it wasn't that long ago. It wasn't that long ago that, who was it, Homeland Security, FEMA, was buying up all the guns and ammo, millions of dollars worth. Folks, the government moves slow, okay, but they are methodical. And so this should, if we knew our history like we should, it should make you realize that this is the modern day Stalin. This is the modern day 1930s Germany getting ready to run roughshod over the people and to put forth their will like every other nation in the world has been done to. Every other nation. You know, there's nowhere else to go, folks. See, the people in England, or the people in Canada, or even the people in Australia, or wherever, and how about the hundreds of thousands that are flooding our southern borders every day? Maybe hundreds of thousands per month, but you know, you get the picture. They know that where they are is bad, but they got somewhere to go. Oh, we go to America. It's better there. But folks, it's filling up here, and there's nowhere else to go. This is the new JERUSALEM. The Bible talks about that, that even after all the land promises were made to God's people, he talked about a new Zion, a new Jerusalem, a new place that he would plant his people, that they wouldn't be uprooted anymore. One of the reasons they won't be uprooted anymore is there's nowhere else to uproot them to. And throughout the history of the world, there's always been somewhere else. The dispersion, when the 12 tribes, as James says, greetings to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. When they were dispersed among the nations, see, there were those places to go. When the Assyrians and the Babylonians came in and took them captive, they had somewhere to put them. There's nowhere else for Americans to go. You know, the French came to America and became French Americans, and the blacks from Africa came to America and became African Americans, and the Germans and the Swiss and the Irish and the Dutch and the Scottish, they all came here and became German American and Scottish American and Irish American, and then, you know, within a generation or two, a few, it was just American. Well, there ain't nowhere else to go except to the Lord. There's just not. And so, but our enemy, by doing these things, and you know what they say, oh, we're only going to investigate those making $400,000 and more. Take the opposite. No, they're going to be after everybody. And you don't need $700,000 worth of ammo and millions of dollars in firearms and other miscellaneous items to audit taxes. You don't. You don't need that. And so it's not just to audit taxes. There's another bit of this doublespeak, and I'm trying. I may get back into it tonight. I've been reading the book 1984 by George Orwell. And if you haven't, again, I've encouraged you to go find the book. If your library still covers it, if they still carry it, if you have to go to Amazon, whatever, find the book, get it, and start reading it. Okay? And you will see that, you know, this book from, what, 50 or 60, 70 years ago, is it's like a playbook as to what these ungodly antichrists are doing in this nation. It's a step-by-step. It is. 1984, 1984. The doublespeak, it talks about that doublespeak, and like one of the things in the book, it says that you don't need good, the word good and the word bad. You know, it's too vague, so they have good and ungood. And that's it. Anyway, you read the book. It's pretty interesting. But another big piece that we are seeing of the doublespeak, the esoteric along with the exoteric message, right? The external message, the exoteric, or what they say is to the masses. But the esoteric, the hidden, the eso, the secret message that's in there, we see that as well. We're seeing it more and more. I give you a local example here. Liz Cheney, daughter of ex-Vice President Dick Cheney, facing near certain defeat in Wyoming's GOP primary. It says, the quote here in Fox News says she's eyeing a bigger battle ahead. Okay? And so let me give you a couple quotes here. Embattled Republican Representative Liz Cheney, in her closing message to Wyoming voters ahead of the state's Tuesday primary, once again spotlighted her mission to make sure that former President Donald Trump never returns to the White House. Now, see, that's not an elected official's job, but see, that's her mission. And there's an exoteric, an external message and a hidden message there. She goes on and says, America can't remain free if we abandon the truth. Well, America's not free now because we have abandoned the truth and we believed the lie. She goes on, oh, the lie that the 2020 presidential election was stolen is insidious. It preys on those who love their country. It's a door Donald Trump opened to manipulate Americans to abandon their principles, to sacrifice their freedom, to justify violence, to ignore the rulings of our courts and the rule of law. And it's all of that is an absolute lie. Talking about to ignore the rule of law, that is exactly what these rhinos and demon rats do. See, they look at it, well, that law is for us to follow, but not them. Talking about the rulings of the courts, how many times have the people in the courts in many states, including the state of California, ruled and voted sometimes 80% say to not let illegal aliens get California driver's license. And then their court of law, their judges just comes up and overrules it. And talking about, oh, the fit that these people are in about the January 6th event that took place at the Capitol, that these ungodlies call an insurrection, while they let the country burn the previous summer and called that a peaceful protest. And so Let me tell you, I think Cheney is running scared. She knows she's out. And here's another quote. She says, Cheney, in comments made recent weeks, seems to be at peace with the likely outcome on Tuesday is a price she is to pay in order to achieve success in her bigger fight. See, she's losing. She's getting kicked out of Wyoming, and she knows it. But she's saying, oh, well, this, you know, it's worth it to me to, even if I lose my seat, to make sure that America stays free. What a crock of horse patootie. Here's a quote from her. I'm working hard to earn every single vote, Cheney says. No, she's not. No, she's not. She's taking money. She's a third-term representative that is just riding on her daddy's name. She says, given the choice between maintaining my seat in the House of Representatives, on the one hand, or ensuring the survival of our constitutional republic and ensuring the American people know the truth about Donald Trump, I will choose the Constitution and the truth every day of the week and twice on Sunday. See, she's out and she knows it and she's trying to make the best of it. And wanting the people... the survival of this constitutional republic, it's a demonocracy and has been, and two times on Sunday, to use her quote. It's been that way because the constitutional republic, do you remember, and this is one quote, and I got to remember who it's from, but the Constitution, was it Jefferson, was given, or maybe Sam Adams, I think it was Sam Adams, said, you've got a constitution, but it's only for a moral and religious, meaning Christian, a moral and Christian people. And folks, we are no longer moral as a nation, and we are no longer Christian as a nation. And so we are no longer a constitutional republic, because the laws that we have, that we had in this constitutional republic, should stand the test of time. And these liberal left-wing judges and these demonocracy bowing to public opinion and feelings have done away with those laws. Anyway, when you see this, I hope that you realize the doublespeak that come from these lifelong politicians. And see, what's happening is politicians like Cheney and others across the nation, they're being exposed. See, the spell of D.C. is not working anymore. How they used to get the votes, the spell, oh, she's a Republican. She's Dick Cheney's daughter. Let's vote for her. She's from Virginia, but she moved to Wyoming 2 years ago. Let's make her our representative. Yeah, that's the way to do it. See, that spell's not there. She's being kicked out of Wyoming. Go back to Virginia. And many people are saying, you know, she'll just run for the presidency. She'll seek the Republican nomination. Good luck. Wyoming has a past Democrat governor. I forget his name. I just saw this the other day. And he is pushing and promoting for Liz Cheney, saying, I'm going to switch parties from the Democrat to the Republican just so I can vote for Liz Cheney. Now, if that doesn't tell you, and see, when they do that, they think that that is good and positive. And it just opens the eyes of those that are being awakened more and more. It does. I see the phone lines. Let's take a minute and take this call. Good evening. Welcome to the program.
Okay. Richard, I need help bad.
Hey, Ken. Yes.
This is from my hand, Ken.
Yes.
In Wisconsin. And Joanne I need help. I am not getting, I need these hard things that are in my stomach and my everything else is there. And I have come into a,
And I'm back, Remnant. Thank you. Trying to get my CD player wasn't working. I was trying to get something on. So dead air. Praying with Brother Ken off the air. And ask you to pray for him. His Brother Ken out in Wisconsin. I think he's had a stroke. And well, Lord, let's pray for him now. Lord Jesus, we come to you and we do pray for our Brother Ken. We thank you for his faithfulness over the years. And Lord, the encouragement that he's been to us. And Father, he is in need. He is one of yours in need. And so we pray for him. We pray for healing, for restoral. Lord, for patience for him and strength for him to get through this, to trust in you and to look to you for health and healing. And we do that very thing, Lord, right now. And we pray your health, your healing, your restoral on Ken from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Lord Jesus, we ask that you restore him from his DNA up and just correct any issues from this stroke or whatever it is. And we glorify you in this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open tonight. And didn't mean to take so long on current events, but I see these things as last day events. You know, when we read in 1 Kings of Elijah and Ahab, we talked about it a week or two ago, Obadiah, the servant of God, that was not just the book of Obadiah. I talked about that a couple Sundays ago. But here, the servant of God, Obadiah, that worked for Ahab, but that was also working for God and you know, worked with Elijah as his mouthpiece. But in 1 Kings 18, verse 17, Elijah, he's been talking with Obadiah, and he comes. And verse 17, it says, "And it came about when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said to him, Is this you, you troubler of Israel?" And I want you to remember, in light of these current events that I've shared with you and the concepts that our pastor tried to put forth for years regarding our politicians and our ungodly government, "Is that you, you troubler of Israel?" And see, that's what the enemy does, Remnant. They accuse you of what they are. Okay? They accuse you of what they are. Let's read the next verse. Verse 18. "And Elijah said, I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, because you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals." See, the Christian is not the problem. The Christian is not the troubler in America today. No, but Ahab and his father's house, and those that have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and continue to follow the Baals. They are the troublers today. They are the ones that are pushing and promoting sin. They are the ones that are liars, that say one thing when they mean the exact opposite. If Joe O'Biden cared about children, he wouldn't be hiring 87,000 IRS agents. He'd be putting armed guards in the schools and enforcing the laws that are on the books now. Let's try the phone lines again. Good evening. Welcome to 7 times 70.
Oh, good evening, Richard. Just wanted to report in that I actually had a chance to go into the Pentagon and anoint several places recently.
Well, good.
Just wanted to let you know.
Absolutely.
You have a good evening.
Yeah. Hey, just to let you know that that's not the only place up there that has been anointed. Several have made trips and done that. And so you're in very good company by doing that, to let you know. Thank you, and thank you for letting us know. All right. God bless. Amen. Amen. Why are these things happening? Why? They've been happening. Why are they coming to light? Why are people finding out about them? Well, if you read the anointing prayer, I try to send it out when people request anointing oil, but it talks about a rededication and a re-anointing of whether it's the Pentagon, whether it's the White House, whether it's your house or my house or God's house, but a cornerstone on a courthouse or wherever. But it talks about a rededication and a reanointing, a breaking of the ungodly vows that might have been spoken, and a rededication to God and God's purpose for God's people. And there is much more to that anointing oil and a proper anointing and re-anointing than many people think. Don't take it lightly. Don't take it lightly. Make sure you are, if you're doing that, that you are doing your best to live a Christian life, that you don't have unrepentant sin between you and God, and that you armor up before you go about an anointing or an unanointing. Absolutely. Well, 1 Kings 18, Remnant, take a look at it, read it, because it is. You know, here Elijah is accused of being the troubler of Israel, when no, he was not the one causing problems. It wasn't Elijah, it was Ahab. It was the leader, and him and his father's house, because they were leading, right? They were going the way of Jezebel, and they were promoting the Baals, and they were leading people away, forsaking the commandments of the Lord. And that holds true for you today, Remnant, and this holds true for me today, and for all of us in this land, to the garbage man, to the mayor, to the governors, to the school board officials, to the president, to the representatives that might be getting kicked out of states because they have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and followed the Baals, followed the ways of the East, the parasites that have come in among us, the tares among the wheat. Read the rest of it. Don't have time tonight. I got to start wrapping up. But read the rest of it, of what God does through Elijah, his prophet. Remnant, we are getting closer and closer to the time of harvest, to the harvest that Jesus spoke about. Excuse me, had a big sneeze there. We are one day closer. You know, way back in Genesis 7, and those that entered the ark, male and female of all flesh, entered as God had commanded him, and the Lord closed it behind him. We're getting closer to that day of closure again. In Matthew 24, a couple quick verses here, verse 35, Jesus says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away." And we see things pass away here on earth, possibly in the heavens. But they will pass away, but his words remain forever. And in verse 37, Jesus says, "For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For in those days which were before the flood, they were eating and drinking. They were marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away." And so see what happened there is it set a precedent. See, God saved his people, but how did he do it? He got his people through the storm, through the flood in the ark. And what did he do? He took the evil ones away. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Verse 40, "There shall be two men in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one will be left." Now the Bible, in setting the precedent, Jesus Christ's words, the flood came and took them all away, those that did not understand. So When something comes and takes away, according to the Bible, what is it that's taken away? Those that don't understand, right? It's the evil that's removed from the land. How about Sodom and Gomorrah? It was the evil that was removed from the land. How about the story of the tares, the parable of the tares and the wheat? The kingdom of God is what that's compared to the kingdom of God. It's the tares at the time of harvest that are removed. It ain't a rapture, folks. See that rapture doctrine? It is just like this doublespeak. It is just the opposite. That's why so many people are powerless when it comes to these spiritual things, because it's just the opposite of what the Bible says. Jesus said, Matthew 24, they did not understand until the flood came and took them away. Two men in a field, one will be taken. Two women, one will be taken. The tares and the wheat, the tares are taken and the wheat remain. Thy kingdom come, right? On earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come. In his kingdom, that evil will be removed. And it's getting close to that now. See, it's that time of harvest when the tares stand up straight and tall and proud and haughty. It's the time of harvest. Hey, they're up just pointing, look at me. Come be part of us. Look at me. Me too. Me too over here. Hi, tare over there. Is what they're saying, and they're waving to each other, and they want each other to be recognized. You know, when the filthy actor Kevin Costner, ungodly antichrist that he is, Democrat, I'm sure, when he lets his picture be spread about saying, I support Liz Cheney, see, that's the tares standing up, waving to each other. Me too, they say. Oh, yeah, don't look over here. Me too. And they think that it's great because it's their time of harvest. They're in their full bloom. And that's when Jesus Christ sends his angels to strike them down, to burn them, to bundle them and burn them. And I, Lord Jesus, let that day come quickly. Have mercy on those that are yours that can repent. And on those tares, Lord, bring your judgment. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, folks, I'm out of time. Didn't get to Revelation 22. Maybe next week, if we have next week. Well, thanks for tuning in, Remnant. Remember to pray for our brother Ken in Wisconsin for his healing. And plan on joining us Saturday morning for Coffee with the Wranglers. You can do it right at the website, scripturesforamerica.org. We'll have the phone lines open. And we'd be glad to have you there, be glad to talk to you, and take your call, and see if we can have a little music to go out on. And again, thanks for joining us, and I'll leave with a scripture. It's been on my mind lately. It's Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen.
My strength, my song, this cornerstone. a solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. On flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day from the grave.